Let's take our Bibles together this morning and turn into the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 22. And there we read, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." May we pray. Our Father, this morning we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take the words that are written on the page and engraft them into our hearts. If need be, if there's one here who's unsaved, may the Holy Spirit prick that person's heart to the intent that he or she would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are saved, may he prick our hearts to walk a better life before him, to let the Holy Spirit of God live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through us. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of bringing forth your word. For, Father, it is indeed a privilege and an honor. And we pray, Father, that you would give us this morning the opportunity, the right, and the way to speak unto this people. For we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. We're speaking this morning about hiding the dirt, as you've seen on the bulletin and on the bulletin board. Hiding the dirt. And when something is dirty, the thing that most mothers think about, and of course my mother did, well, I mean, when she got in my ears, it hurt. You know, a mother can get dig in your ears and really, I thought she was going clear through to the other side. A lot of other people thought that too, you know, because there wasn't anything in there to stop it. But anyhow, a mother knows how to get into the ears and hurt. So when something is dirty, there needs to be something to cleanse the dirt. And we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, "Ye are dead, and your life is," what? "Hid with Christ in God." Now keep this in mind as we're thinking about hiding the dirt. "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we read where the apostle says, "If our gospel be," what? "Hid." It is hid to those that are lost, because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So think of this as we think about hiding the dirt, that our lives are hid in Christ. If the gospel be hid from us, then it is hidden from us by Satan. And then we want to read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and it says, "As it is written," as it is appointed unto man, how many times to die? Once to die, and after that, the judgment. So man must be in one of two places when he or she dies. They must be hidden in Christ, or they must be under the delusion of the gospel hidden from them by whom? By Satan. Satan has hidden the gospel from them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and of course they'd be saved. Now when light shines on dirt, it's what? It exposes it. Light shows that there is dirt. And light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's John 3:19. So we need to keep this in mind. And then in Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Lord says, "As far as the east is from the west, has he removed our sin," or our dirt, "from us." So think on these things as we look this morning about hiding the dirt. And so, hiding the dirt. When something is dirty, it is really unsightly. It's something on which we don't want to look. It is something that when we can no longer endure it, we hide it. Now there are many ways of hiding the dirt. And we want to speak this morning in things concerning spiritual dirt. Things that relate to spiritual dirt. And so this is what we're thinking about this morning as we look upon a soul that is unclean. A soul that is not clean in the sight of God. And we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that if you die that way, the wages of sin or the wages of dirt is what? Death. You see? So aren't you glad the verse doesn't end there? the gift of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my friend, this morning, if you are clean in your own sight, that doesn't matter. You must be clean in the sight of God. And it matters not how long you've been coming here. If you're not clean in the sight of God, you love darkness rather than the light because your deeds were evil and are evil. So the thing that we want to impress upon you this morning, you cannot hide what your sin is from God. You can't do that. You can pretend to do it. You can assume to do it. But you can't hide from God. You can't hide any more than you're walking from God. He sees every step you take. He knows where you are. And He wants you to realize that as you're taking steps along this life road and you're stepping towards what? Every one of us are going towards D-E-A-T-H. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after that, the judgment. And God wants you to die once. If you're born twice, you die once. You're born once, you die twice. And God doesn't want that. And death is an enemy. And we're told that that enemy in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26, that it is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. God is going to destroy my enemy for me because I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you? You see, you will either have that enemy destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will have to put up with the destroyer yourself. You'll have to spend the time of eternity in the lake of fire because you did not believe that Christ was the destroyer of death. He is the destroyer of death. It is the last enemy. And Christ has destroyed him for me and for you. He loves you. He loves me. And it doesn't make any difference how dirty you are. You say, I'm too dirty to be cleansed. No, you're not. Not in God's sight. You're not too dirty to get cleansed in His way. And death is not pretty. It's an ugly thing. It's an awful thing. And every one of us hate it, don't we? We don't want our loved ones to die. Because when they do, we cry, don't we? It's an awful thing. Death is the most despicable thing that's ever been put upon the face of the earth. Death. And God has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to abolish that for you and for me. To abolish that in His sight. And He's put it away forever. But Satan tries to convince men that death is a way out. And a lot of teenagers, as we've been speaking here of recent times, are trying to take a way out when they're dirty. And they say, I'll get out of this life and everything will be alright then. When I'll be released. No, my friend. And you say of a person that you've known for a long time that he or she is better off. If he or she is not saved, they're worse off than they ever were, and I don't care what kind of disease they have. I don't care what it is. It could have been the worst cancerous disease, leprosy, or whatever it were. It would make no difference what that disease was if they were not saved. They are worse off than when they left this life. And so Satan tries to convince people that he says that it's a way of escape. And he tries to say that death is not a reality. All you need to do is go down here on Cemetery Road and look out on the field there and you'll see it's a reality. Won't you see all those tombstones out there? Why are they out there if there isn't death? It is a reality and it is something that you and I are facing. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be born to live. He was born to die, but He wants us to be born so that we can live for an eternity. The Pharisees, and Jesus called these people hypocrites. And the reason that He called them hypocrites was that they were putting on a false front. And that's what a lot of people do. For what? Why did they put on a false front? To hide their spiritual dirt. And that's the reason that if we are trying to put on a covering to cover our sin, there is no covering for you to cover your sin except the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth from all sin. So, you see, you can put on the facade, as it were. You can put it on, but my friend, you have to realize when you do, there's someone that has an x-ray vision. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what's in you, John 2:25. He knows what's in you, and you don't need to tell Him. He has an x-ray vision. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, it's the Lord asks, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? The Lord asks that in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says in John 2:25, you don't need to tell the Lord what's in you, for He knows what's in man. So He has the x-ray vision. He can see within your heart. Jeremiah asks us in verse 9 of chapter 17, in the last part of the verse, who can know the heart? God says it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God looks in there with an x-ray vision. You know, in a sense, you know it. You know whether your heart is dirty or not. You know, but you don't want to admit it, and you hide the dirt. We hide the dirt, but we hide it from man, but we cannot hide it from God. It is impossible to hide it from God. And we, you know, we go to funerals, and you will hear some jellyfish preachers at funeral, those that don't have any spine about them, they'll try to preach the person that's in the coffin into heaven. You've heard it, and it's ridiculous. He's done many mighty, wonderful works. The Lord talks about that. He was good to his family. The Lord talks about that. You know, the hiding of dirt has made liars out of a lot of preachers. Lying and hiding the dirt. You can't do it because a preacher that doesn't preach what God says is not worthy salt, and he's not a preacher in the first place. He's not God's preacher anyhow. So we must realize how important it is that we be clean. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 3, I believe it, now ye are clean through what? Through the Word. You're clean through the Word. You must listen to what He says. And so we're listening here, and He has the only detergent. He has the only thing that can cleanse us. There's only one detergent that can cleanse sin. You know, back in the Old Testament, leprosy was a picture of sin. And there was only God's way that it could be cured. And there's only God's way that sin can be cured. It cannot be cured your way. And there's 5 billion people in the world today, and we all are prone to want to cure sin our way. You can't do it. There's only one way. It says in John 14 and 6, I am the what way? The way. A definite article. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So when you go to buy all these soaps and all these detergents to cleanse your sin, I don't care what kind you buy, Tide, Dove, Rinso, it doesn't, Ajax or Cheer, it doesn't make any difference what kind you're going to buy, it will not cleanse your soul. There's only one kind of detergent, and I say that reverently, that will cleanse your soul, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from how much sin? All sin. God's Son provided the salvation for you and for me. You know, Adam tried to hide his dirty self. Yes, he was dirty. Well, you say, he wasn't any more dirty than when his wife gave him the fruit to eat than he was before. Yes, he was. Well, he didn't look any more dirty to Eve than he did before. He did to God. And he did to Adam. You see, Adam knew that he had done wrong. And so he took what he was trying to prepare. He took the fig leaves and he tried to prepare a covering for himself. What did he cover? He covered his sex organs because they are that which would produce other sinners. And he was ashamed of himself. That's what he covered. He didn't cover his eyes. He didn't cover his ears. He covered and he tried to do that. And God says, you're dirty, Adam. And you can't provide a covering. And God says, I'm through with you. I'm done with you. I'm going to zap you off the face of the earth, as the kids say today. Is that what God said? God said, I love you. And God showed their redemption. When this happened, God took an animal. He took another and slew him and made a covering for him. God slew his son. If you don't believe it, you read Isaiah 53. God struck his son and made a covering for your sin and my sin, and he's removed it as far as the east is from the west forever. God cannot see through the blood of his son. Do you understand that? As it were in the Old Testament, when he passed over the children of Israel, when they put the blood on the lintel on the doorpost, God passed over and he could not see through that blood. Because he promised that he couldn't. God says, when I see the blood of my son, I'll pass over you. You must be under that for God to see you as a clean person. The world's trying to hide dirt. Hide their spiritual dirt under the facade of beauty. And the world is beautiful. There are many beautiful things in the world. There is beautiful art. There are beautiful homes. There are beautiful buildings, business buildings. And it's amazing. When you go to New York and you look up there as an old country kid and you say, my, they could put a lot of hay in that Empire State Building. You know, that's how dumb we were when we went to the Second World War and went to these big cities. We'd never been there before. We thought all these big buildings had hay in them. And they didn't really. But anyhow, you know, those are beautiful architectures of man. Man can make beautiful things, and he does this in beautiful ships, not these troop ships, I'm not talking about that, but these beautiful ships like the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth, those beautiful transports, he can make those. But my friend, that will not cleanse. That will not do it. It's like these fat flowers here. They're pretty, but they're a facade. They're not the real thing. We as people have taken false things and made pretty things out of them. We can do that. But it won't, it's not alive. That flower is dead. God wants live things. God doesn't appreciate, you know, in that sense, dead things. And when you see, God wants beauty in our lives. He doesn't want it to be a facade. Then we're told that the wicked are like the restless sea. The troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and the dirt upon their shores. When you go to the beach, and when you go out early in the morning, what do you see there? You see all kinds of muck and mire, dead fish, and all kinds of specimens there on the beach that the water has washed up. The water has washed it up, and it isn't pretty, is it? It isn't pretty. It's dirty. And that's the way we look to God until we're cleansed. We have the mire and the dirt and the muck, and it rushes out all the time. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, that it proceeds right out of here. Read that. Read the account in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and see what comes out of here. See what comes out of this heart. It's worse than what the sea rolls up of a morning. There's murders, adulteries, evilness, conspicuous, and all these things that proceed out of the heart. It's not what goes into a man, it's what comes out of the man. You see? That's already in there. You can eat garlic and it'll make you stink, but that doesn't defile you. That might in the sight of man, but it doesn't in the sight of God. In fact, garlic has a cleansing agent for a lot of things. And so, you see, we classify things, but God says sin is sin and dirt is dirt. And so, things are more real when dirt is removed. We know that. I was visiting a couple Saturdays ago at a family, and the mommy told the little girl not to get into the cake, and she continued to talk to Blanche and I, and she heard a rumbling in the kitchen, and she went out there, and the little girl come back in, and she had cake all over her. She'd gotten into the cake, and she had eaten it all. Now, she was cute, but she was dirty. You know, she was cute, and she got up on my lap and wanted me to give her a kiss, and I got some free chocolate, you know. And she was cute, but she was dirty. But would her mother bring her that way to Sunday school? Oh, no, she wouldn't bring her that way. She had to be cleansed. Because that was the way to go. Can you go to heaven being spiritually dirty? You can't do it. You can't do it because God will not permit it. that we hide the dirt under a pretense. And many people, as it were in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, where they were hiding their pretenses in long prayers. You know, my friend, if you're not a Christian, you can't really pray to God except say to Him, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And you don't even really have to say that because God's already been merciful. He can't be any more merciful than He has. But God says He does not hear the wicked. God doesn't hear the wicked except that I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm dirty and I want you to cleanse me. That's what He hears. And so here were these Pharisees. They were standing on the corner with their long robes and their phylacteries and all these things and saying long prayers. The Lord says that's a pretense. When under those robes there's dirt, and He says it will not suffice. There's a story of a man who went to a home to see a fellow, supposed Christian, and the little boy was there, about like Jonathan up here, who can't stand still, and that's a little boy. I'm not criticizing him, that's just a little boy. And the little boy in the house was there, and he was talking to the preacher, and the preacher says, I'll bet your daddy's really your daddy's little playboy. The little boy says, oh no, and he went over and took the family Bible and turned it over, and there was a Playboy magazine. He said, there's daddy's Playboy. See, kids see the dirt, and we even try to hide it under the Bible. We try to hide it under those names. There's your little Playboy. There's my daddy's Playboy. You know, I wonder when the preacher or elders or deacons come to visit you, what do you have to put up? What do you have to hide? Where do you put it? What kind of dirt is there? What kind of dirt is in your soul? What kind of things are you harboring in your heart? The Lord says, be ye holy as I am holy. And a lot of us have the dirt of self-righteousness. In Proverbs 16:2, and I wouldn't mind if you turn there as I quote it to you and underline it in your Bible. Proverbs, I'll give you time. Proverbs 16:2. See what it says. Right after the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, and then Proverbs. Verse 2 of chapter 16. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But you know there's a but there. There's a semicolon and a but. But the Lord weigheth the spirit. It doesn't make any difference what you think. The balances are the Lord's. And you're weighed in the balances and found wanting if you're dirty. The Lord has weighed you if you're unsaved, and your sin outweighs your righteousness, because it says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So our righteousness are up here, and our filthy rags are down here in the scales, and they're outweighed. Our righteousnesses don't outweigh the filthiness. God said that. I didn't say that. We need to realize what it is and with whom it is that we have to deal. And the problem is with most of us that it's my neighbor who's dirty. It's my neighbor who is at fault. It is my neighbor who doesn't realize what the Lord wants. It isn't me. I think we need to go back to the old spiritual of the Negro, and sometimes we can take a lesson from them. It's not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not my sister nor my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And many Christians are in that situation. And if you're unsaved, you should say it's not my neighbor nor the person down the street, but it's me, O Lord, I'm dirty and I want to be cleaned. And that's what we need to have in our hearts. You know, as many of you men wouldn't want your neighbor to come over to you and say, my, oh my, your wife has a dingy looking gray wash on the line. Would you? You wouldn't like that very much, would you? But if your neighbor came over and said, it's amazing that I look out in my yard and I see the wash that your wife has put out there and it looks so spotless. You know, the Lord wants us clean, and clean, clear through. He doesn't want any part of us in this hiding behind the facade, hiding behind the falseness that we, because he can see. So let's think on this as we, let's look in, well, you don't have to look there. I can tell you in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 7, the Lord, or the psalmist David says, wash me. Wash me. That's what he wanted. In 2 Kings, we have a story of a man, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, and his name was Naaman. And it tells us there in the first verse that he was a captain of the host. That means he was a general. He was a general. He was a great man. He was an honorable man. He was a man of valor, but he was what? He was a leper, and that speaks of dirt, doesn't it? He was dirty. He was a leper. And all these great things could not suffice for his life. Every one of them. And there happened to be a little maid there. And she says, if he were in the land of the prophet, the prophet could tell him what to do. And God uses little maids. He may use these little children up here this morning to tell you that he's not through with you if you're a Christian. He's still working on us. I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's still working on me. And so, you see, this little maid says, oh, that he were there. The prophet could tell him. So, Naaman takes his horde of chariots and all these presents and all these gifts, and he drives up to this little hut, and in there is Elisha. And he figured that Elisha would come out and say, well, there's the general, the captain of the host, an honorable man, a mighty man, a man of valor. But that ain't what happened. That isn't what the scriptures tell us. Elisha didn't even come out. Oh, it infuriated him. And Elisha said in chapter 5 and verse 10, you go tell him to go wash in the Jordan. Oh, that old dirty Jordan. He said in verse 12, he said, why can't I go and wash in the river of Arbana and Pharpar? Oh, they were clear and they were pretty, but that isn't what the Lord said. You see, we don't want to listen to the Lord. We want to use the detergent that we say, and we say, how can anybody be washed whiter than snow in the blood? Don't ask me, but God says it can. Says that in the Psalms. He says that we can be washed, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 that we shall be white as snow, and that we shall be white as wool, or we be as wool. But it tells us in the Psalms that we'll be whiter than the snow. No impurities whatsoever. So old Naaman, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go and wash and dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman's probably just like we were, and like people are of skepticism. He probably went down and dipped once. Nothing happened. Still a leper. So what God said. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times getting tired. I told you it wouldn't work. But just in case, he did it 7 times like that, he was white. His skin came just like it was before. He was clean. Because of doing it God's way. God says we cannot hide the dirt. God says, I know you're a leper, Naaman, and you know you're a leper, and I didn't tell you to go to the rivers of Arbana and Pharpar. I didn't tell you to do that. I told you through my prophet, I told you to go to the Jordan and there dip yourself 7 times. And when we will obey God, God is committed to you and to me. You know, God committed him to my life. When I accepted him, God committed himself to take me to heaven. Regardless of what I am and regardless of what I do. If I go into sin, God takes care of the dirt that is in my life. God does that, and he chastises me. He takes care of that. But God wants it first. You have to come to him. You have to be his child. And when you're his child, he does the cleansing. I suspect that mother with whom I visited a couple of weeks ago would have probably got angry if I said, well, that kid needs cleaning up. I'll take her to the bathroom and do it. She probably thought, well, that's not your kid. You leave her alone. That's the way it is with God. We are His children. He takes care of us. He doesn't want the devil cleaning us because he doesn't know how to clean us. All he knows how to do is to tempt us and to get us into trouble and drag us down spiritually, to ruin our testimony, to do all these things to you and to me. The psalmist cries out, create, in 51 and 10, where David had gone into a sin with Bathsheba and he was hiding it. And he says in Psalm 32, my pillow was wet with tears every night because I was hiding my sin. And Nathan came and pointed the finger right into his nose and said, thou art the man. He gave David a story and he told him, he said, there was a man who had all kinds of herds and of sheep and all these things. And then there was one man who only had a little ewe lamb. And the man who had the herds took the little ewe lamb. And made it his own. He said, what should he do? David said, that man will die. And he pointed the finger right back in his nose. He said, thou art the man. And David tried to hide it. But God revealed it to Nathan. And Nathan went and told him. Now I can figure Nathan was going like this. He was going before the king. And what a great king he was. But he convicted David. And David said in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10, wash me. Wash me and make within me or create within me a clean heart. So his heart must have been what? If it needed to be clean. It was dirty. David needed a clean heart. And so to get right with God, to have the joy of his salvation, he needed to get right with God. You know, the first thing you lose when you, if you're a Christian, you get out of the way of the Lord, the first thing you lose is the joy of your salvation. That's the first thing. You have no joy, and then you try to hide. Hiding sin is just like lying. To get rid of one lie, you have to tell another. To get rid of the sin that you're trying to hide, you have to hide something else. So God says, come clean. Come clean and admit it unto me. In Psalm 51 and 2, it says, wash me thoroughly from my sin, or from my iniquity, either way you want to put it, from my sin or my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me thoroughly. Clear through. Be the tide makes it clean. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us clean. In Luke's Gospel chapter 5, the leper said to the Lord Jesus, if thou wilt. Oh, my friend, that's the statement of statements. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, now you do this, and you do that, and you do a few other things. Is that what it says? It says, I will be thou clean. There isn't a person who ever wanted to be saved who cannot be saved. There isn't a person who doesn't want to, who wants to be clean who cannot be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke's Gospel again, in chapter 11, in verse 39, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the dirty cups and platters. He says, the problem is that you want the cup to be clean on the outside and not on the inside. Now, that's the first impression we get. If we go to the cupboard and we get a cup and we see the outside is dirty, we usually put it back in the dishwasher. But the problem is, most of all, is what is on the inside. If there is grime and dirt on the inside and the outside is clean, you're in worse trouble than it would be the other way around. And the Lord Jesus is telling people there, these Pharisees, that you see, you want the outside to look all right, but you are like ravening wolves on the inside. And, you know, it's where in the Old Testament, where the prophets came to Elisha. They just went out and they gathered up everything. They gathered these kind of herbs and these kind of herbs and these kind of things, and they came and they put them in the pot. They weren't watching what they were doing. And when they tasted of it, some of them died and said, oh, master, there's death in the pot. And he had to put the right thing in the pot to cure it. He had to cast in the meal to and then they could partake of it. So we need to realize that we get clean through the Word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 9. We read that this morning. How shall a man, young man, cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There's only one way to get cleansed. That's God's way. And God's way is the word of God. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every bit of this word is inspired. Every bit of it. It's one part is just as important as we read here in Mark's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 22, for there is nothing hid. That's as inspired as John 3:16, which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should not be made or brought abroad. God knows you. All this, that's just as true as any other part of the scripture. So we need to take heed to God's word. We're told in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 that unto him who loved us and washed us, he loved you and washed us from what? From our sins. In what? His own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. So if we needed to be washed and we were sinful, you can rest assured then, in God's eyes, we were dirty. We need to be cleansed. We have a dirty nature, a sinful nature. Now turn with me to Malachi. That's right before Matthew in the Old, in the New Testament, Matthew and Malachi in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Excuse me, verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. So are you think the governor is blind and you're going to be able to offer those kind of things to him? How do you think you're going to offer to God those things that are dirty, that are blind, that are maimed, that are halt? You see, the governor isn't blind, neither is God blind. So the thing that we need to realize that man is helpless to cleanse himself from sin, and he does not have the means to do it, yet he pretends to do it. And even after we get saved, we want to bring something that is maimed, that is halt, that is dirty, and offer it to the Lord. And he says, no. He told the children of Israel that. No, and he tells you, and he tells me that. Don't pretend before God. Don't pretend to do so. And now verse 14 in Malachi 1. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth a sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. And if it's corrupt, it's what? It's dirty, it's vile, it's filthy. For I am the great king. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Don't pretend with God, because come clean with him. Tell him how feeble and how helpless and how hopeless you are. And that way, God can make you strong. You know, a baby with a dirty diaper usually cries. That's the way it tells its mother that it needs to be cleansed. So if you put on a new diaper on the baby, I think you mothers are going to say, oh, how ridiculous. You have a dirty baby and you put a new diaper on it and don't cleanse it. Soon stinks, doesn't it? You've read about these babies in the paper that have been just taken out and left on the doorstep or in a garbage can, and people will find them. This actually happened in West Virginia. A little baby bottle had maggots in it. Had maggots. But you see, my friend, the Bible says that we are all as an unclean thing. If we try to change our diaper, and our spiritual diaper, about which I'm speaking, we try to change that without the cleansing, we still have dirt on the inside. And it stinks to God. It's a stench to his nostrils. God can't stand it. But he wants us to be clean. And you can't cleanse yourself any more than that baby can cleanse itself. We're helpless to do that. We need to clean first that which is in the cup and on the platter, the Lord Jesus Christ tells these disciples or these Pharisees. Clean first what is in the cup and in the platter. And then the outside will be taken care of. And then he wants us, everyone, to come, and I say this reverently, but it's in a way that we can understand it. Come if we need our diaper changed, our spiritual diaper. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're trying to do that, that baby is really in a mess when they need a diaper change. And the right kind of a mother will change it and cleanse it properly. The right kind of a heavenly father will change us, will cleanse us, and remove that awful stench as far as the east is from the west and remember it against us no more. As we sing our hymn of invitation today, it's number 245, and I want you to look at that. Search me, O God, search me, and see if there be some wicked way in me. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, God wants to save you. Don't try to hide the dirt from him. And if you're here, my friend, and you are saved, and there's some dirt in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to realize he paid for that too, and he wants you to come again and commit your life to him. Commit your way unto him and say, and don't be too proud to say, Lord, I need a spiritual change because there's dirt in my life. May the Lord bless you.
Let's turn in your hymnal to 545. Cleanse me, 545.